Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board, taking your phone calls as well. It is 6:12 PM. It is Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. We are back in the studios high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square in downtown Madison, after being in downtown Milwaukee yesterday with our friend Matt Flynn. A pleasure and an honor. I want to thank Matt for spending the day with us downtown yesterday. Beautiful day, Mr. Zommers, downtown Milwaukee. And I'd forgotten how quickly the sun will burn you in the in the spring. And I didn't suntan lotion up. So Todd has a little bit of a sunburn today.
Yeah, I figured that was going to happen just based on seeing the video. Well, just because right. I saw the video, I saw how bright it was.
It was.
I was like, oh man, I know I'd get sunburnt real quick.
And I lent Matt Flynn my Brewers baseball cap. And so my balding head was a little red, but it was fine. It was a great trade-off for a great day in downtown Milwaukee. And it's just another wonderful reminder that Milwaukee, and in particular downtown Milwaukee, is another one of those things that make Wisconsin great.
Absolutely.
The architecture, the people, the food, the river down there. You're not very far from Lake Michigan. It's just a great part of the state of Wisconsin. And if you haven't been there, or it's been a while, I get it. The traffic can be a little tight getting downtown Milwaukee, but just follow your GPS and you'll get there fine. Plenty of public parking ramps and that sort of thing. Actually, street parking as well. Not all that difficult as long as you're not there kind of at the peak of the day. But yeah, great time downtown Milwaukee yesterday, and happy to be here. Happy to be back in the studio in Wisconsin today. As Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, said here right before we came on, depending upon where you're at in the state today, keep an eye to the sky. Keep it tuned right here to Civic Media, as it could be some rough weather into the early evening, later parts. Kind of depends. Now, here in Madison, we're still pretty overcast. And they're saying that if the sun, in places where the sun kind of peaks through and the temperature might increase, that's really where it's going to be even more, a higher chance of severe storms. So be aware of that.
Keep an eye on your local weather station.
Yeah, absolutely. Was driving back from Milwaukee last night and listening to the Brewers Radio Network in Milwaukee, of which Civic Media is a part on select stations, and hopefully one of your stations has been selected. But I was listening on, in Milwaukee, camp, the big station there that's had the Brewers for years and years and years is WTMJ, of course. And so listening to Bob Uecker was calling the game last night at 90 years old. And there's something magical about a warm early spring, early evening with the windows rolled down. And I was just driving by AmFam Field. I'd forgotten there was a home game. And by the time I drove by, they were in the inning where the Padres broke out and scored like 5 runs or whatever. And to hear Bob Uecker call that game at 90 years old, and it took me back to 1987 when I started in radio and I was engineering Brewers games with Bob Uecker calling the game. And I thought, how lucky are we in Wisconsin? How lucky are we to have somebody of the quality and caliber of Bob Uecker calling our baseball broadcasts, and the guy is still getting it done 50 years after he started?
Oh, absolutely. I continue to be impressed with him, his legacy, and the fact that it ain't over yet.
No, not at all. And he's still funny, and he's still on top of his game at 90 years old. And it reminded me of something that former Wisconsin coach Bo Ryan, the men's basketball team, and of course, now Hall of Famer Bo Ryan, going to be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in August, long overdue. And he said this years ago when he was head coach at Wisconsin. Many people might remember Devin Harris, who went on to have a successful career in the NBA. And Devin Harris was one of, not the first player under Coach Ryan's era that left early to go to the NBA. And of course, you know, up until then, not a lot of players had left Wisconsin, I guess Rashard Griffith, but not a lot of players had left early to go to the NBA because Wisconsin just normally didn't get that quality of player for a very long time. And people, I mean, this was long before NIL and the transfer portal. And there were some fans that were a little salty at Devin Harris for leaving early from Wisconsin to go to the NBA. And of course, it was exactly the right choice for him. And I'll never forget at the press conference where they announced this. They used to announce these things at a press conference. It was that rare and big of a deal. And Coach Ryan said something profound, I thought. And he said, you know, this is just a good reminder that we should enjoy these things while they last, because everything comes to an end. So it's a good reminder to get out here and see these guys when they're playing and appreciate their talent and appreciate what they do, because none of us know how long it's going to last. Enjoy the moment. I was reminded of that last night driving home from Milwaukee listening to Bob Uecker. It has continued to last far beyond, I'm sure, what a lot of people thought it might. So if you get a chance, dial it in. If you live in Richland Center or Wisconsin Rapids or Amory, tune into your local Civic Media station and listen to Bob Uecker when you can. Otherwise, listen in your market. And I'm not even afraid to plug competitors. There are other stations. Obviously, we don't have the rights to the Brewers in every market. That's just the way it goes. But wherever you live, either dial it in your local radio station market, Civic Media, if you're in Richland Center, Wisconsin Rapids, or Amory, or another radio station in other markets, or I believe on the Major League Baseball app, you could also pay for that and stream Brewers broadcasts with Bob Uecker when they're at home. We just never know how long. I hope it lasts several more seasons. But at 90, right, every day is a gift. And we should look at every day regardless of our age. So anyway, not to be kind of too sentimental to start the show, but it's just a good reminder that that's what makes, part of what makes Wisconsin great in the summer, listening to Bob Uecker and Brewers broadcasting. Did not get it done last night.
Unfortunately.
I mean, they've been doing so well. But the Padres came back in a good game. They'll have another chance at it tonight, starting at 6:05 tonight. San Diego, again, at the Milwaukee Brewers. Hear it on WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha. Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. And 98Q Country in Park Falls. I apologize. I get my Brewers. I should have looked at the Q card now in the studio. I got my Badger stations and my Brewer stations mixed up. For those watching on the stream, look at this. This is fantastic. This is what every host, radio or television, needs. If you're going to have a show, you need to have a blue Q card. And look at this. Our fantastic executive producer, Luke Mathers, leaving me a card here to help out. By the way, Lukestra will join us at the bottom of the hour, 12:30, for Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers.
That he will.
Looking forward to that. Also, in hour number two, we're going to have a fantastic What's Worse. You're not going to want to miss this one. A great What's Worse. And we have news. What's Poppin' with Robin Voss. Also, turkey season starts across Wisconsin tomorrow. The Sunburst Chairs are coming back to Memorial Terrace at UW-Madison tomorrow. And much more. Right now, let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Our ongoing contributor and friend, Jeff Perry. Mr. Perry, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Hey, Todd. I just wanted to give you a little story, something that happened to me listening to the Brewer game yesterday also.
Yeah.
And this might not mean, I know you will understand this. Mm-hmm. So I have to listen to the game on the MLB app because where I live, AM radio just doesn't come in. It's probably all the lead paint or something. I don't know. But AM radio doesn't come in very well in the house. So I'm listening to the game, and, you know, at the top of every hour, they have to go for a 10-second break for station identification.
Right.
And when you and I used to engineer these Brewer games years ago, that was our, we had to jump into action. Yes. That was our signal where we had to either be on the microphone and say the station call letters, or we had to play it on a cart.
Right.
And on the MLB app, when they do the station break, it's just dead air for 10 seconds. You know,
really?
Pause 10 okay. seconds for station identification on the Brewers radio network. Yeah. And then it's dead air. I'm in my kitchen doing the dishes. I hear that. And I instinctively am looking around to run to the board because it's time to jump in and hit the cart for the ID. So I thought you would get a kick out of that. Because after all these years, it's still ingrained in my brain that when they give that cue for the station break, I got to be there.
Jeff, I appreciate, because I do understand that, and most people won't, but I appreciate because, and to your point, as I was listening, the thing that popped out listening to that game last night with Euchre more than anything else is when they took a, both when they took a break, but at the station ID, and it is not, the old outro was for years and years and years on the Brewers Radio Network. And now it's on the Brewers Radio Network presented by American Family Insurance. and it just, it stood out like a sore, because I'm like, it should have ended after Brewers Radio Network. But you're right.
The first game of the season, Euchre went on a little mini tirade about that. He was, because really? Everything, they have to give up, they have to give a commercial for everything. Somebody gets a walk, they have to do a commercial. Somebody steals a base. And he says, well, I just fell out of my chair. That's $100 to the Max Fund from blah, blah, blah.
That's something that also really bothers me about new sports. Yeah. And
false old.
Yeah, it's especially bad in esports, like in video games.
Oh, Lord, yeah. I get it.
In the game League of Legends, one of my old college roommates plays it, and we would watch tournaments. And whenever you beat the whole team at once all by yourself, it's called an ace. Except now it's the Bud Light ace.
Oh, good Lord.
Which is hilarious and awful.
Well, you're absolutely, because Jeff is right. There's nothing worse when you used to work in radio and you quote unquote engineered games and you physically had to do something. When you heard that outro, the Brewers Radio Network, you had to sprint to the board because God help you. In instead of the local, in our case, WRCO call letters came on, you'd hear WTMJ, you know, and Lord help you if the owner or station manager heard that instead of the local affiliate. So, it still gives me not nightmares, but yeah, it is physically provoking, right, Jeff?
Right, exactly.
Appreciate it, Jeff. Thank you so much. Our ongoing contributor, Jeff Perry. Apparently, for those watching on the stream, we've broken our camera. We'll try to fix that on the break. Back after this, it's the Todd Allbowles Show for a Tuesday, April 16th on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Civic Media Radio Network on the Civic Media Network show. I'm doing fine. I'm looking at my camera. I'm like, oh, God. But Mr. Zommers, God love him, for those watching the stream, got it working again. So thank you, Mr. Zommers.
Yeah. And for some reason, it decided to rotate from where it was before. I don't know why, because we didn't move it. All I did was turn the camera back on.
If I had a nickel. Anyway, well, we're happy to see you for those watching the stream again. And of course, happy to have all of you on the show listening as well. Coming up at 12:30, our executive producer, Luke Mathers, Tuesday Tangents with Lukester right here. And also in hour number two, a great edition of What's Worse. Your chance to call it. You're not going to want to miss this one. Very controversial. I think a lot of people are going to want to play. And we have another edition of What's Poppin' with Robin Voss. So all that's coming up here just a little bit later on the show. Want to start off with this. A little news from, you're not going to hear probably a lot of other places, thanks to our crack staff. Historian Heather Cox Richardson wrote last weekend that on April 10th, Pulitzer Prize winning photographer David Hume Kennerly resigned from the board of the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Foundation. And you say, well, Todd, what's the big deal? A lot of people probably don't remember President Ford, let alone his foundation. It turns out it's bigger than you might think. So David Hume Kennerly resigns from the board of the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Foundation after his fellow trustees declined to present the Gerald R. Ford Medal for Distinguished Public Service to former Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney, out of concern that a future President Trump would retaliate against the organization by taking away its tax-exempt status. You heard that right. Ketterly wrote, quote, "The historical irony was completely lost on you. Gerald R. Ford became president in part because Richard Nixon had ordered the development of an enemies list and demanded his underlings use the IRS against those listed. That's exactly what the executive committee fears will happen if there's a second coming of Donald Trump," unquote. Harkening back to Ford's service in the World War II Navy, Ketterly wrote, quote, "Did Lieutenant Gerald Ford meet the enemy head-on because he thought he would not get killed? No. He did it despite that possibility. This executive committee, on the other hand, bolted before any shots were fired. You aren't alone. Many foundations, organizations, corporations, and other entities are caught up in this tidal wave of timidity and fear that's sweeping the country. I mistakenly thought we were better than that. This kind of acquiescent behavior that leads to authoritarianism. President Ford most likely would have come out even stronger and said that it leads directly to fascism," unquote. A hitherto unknown reported story that's much bigger than you might think. President Ford, of course, a Republican. I don't know who makes up all the people on the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Foundation. But this one person, a Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer, David Hume Kennerly, has the chutzpah, has the courage to call this what it is. Being timid, being cowards, being fearful that a former Republican Presidential Foundation board would refuse to give a medal for distinguished service, public service, to Liz Cheney out of concern that a future President Trump would retaliate against the organization by taking away its tax-exempt status. It is indicative of what we are seeing all across this country, including right here in Wisconsin. We mentioned this just in passing yesterday. Want to spend a little bit more time with it. Ask our friend Luke Mathers about it as well. Great story yesterday in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Molly Beck. 7 months before Wisconsin voters cast ballots for the next president, the presumptive GOP nominee is publicly targeting the battleground state's top election official and pressuring top Republicans in the state to remove her. Before November, former President Donald Trump's decision to attack Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf comes after the Wisconsin governor has already added security measures for the state's chief election administrator in light of continued threats against her. The former president is publicly and falsely, let me say that again, falsely accusing Wolf of rigging this year's election 4 years after Trump and his allies sought to meddle with another battleground state's election to pressure Georgia's Secretary of State to overturn Trump's loss to President Joe Biden there and terrorized two Georgia poll workers, leading to election subversion charges and a civil defamation lawsuit that Trump, by the way, lost. Quote, "Megan Wolf will try and steal another election," unquote, Trump said in an interview last week on conservative radio, a program called The Regular Joe Show, which airs in Green Bay on WTAQ. Going on in the Trump quote, "Robin Voss should terminate Megan Wolf and they should put somebody in who's going to be fair, not for Republicans, just fair. And if they do that, we're going to win the election by a lot in Wisconsin." I've given out big ship contracts, a lot of big ship contracts that nobody else would have given Wisconsin. I gave it and never made sense to me. Now we find out why. No, she should be gone, unquote. Again, Trump not only falsely says he won the election in 2020, not only falsely claims more election fraud this last year, he falsely tries to equate shipping contracts to maritime ports in Wisconsin. A lot of people don't know that. Marinette, other ports, lots of shipbuilding in Wisconsin, lots of government contracts. Trump claims that he gave those out for a quid pro quo. You know, he claims that he himself approves these contracts. Of course, it's much more complex than that. It involves Congress as well, Department of Defense. Trying to do a quid pro quo with the people of Wisconsin. Wolf, in a statement to the Journal Sentinel, did not respond to Trump's latest comments, but in it countered his characterization of Wisconsin's election administration as, quote, a crime scene, unquote. Every day, Wolf said, I see firsthand evidence that our elections are run accurately and with integrity at the state level and by our local election officials who do an incredible job registering voters, issuing ballots, and managing the voter rolls in each of our state's 1,850 cities, towns, and villages. Wolf went on to say, there are many times I wish I could respond more directly to defend myself, my staff, Wisconsin's local election officials, and upstanding way in which we administer elections in the state. However, my role is nonpartisan, and my focus is on impartiality administering the upcoming elections. This fear, this threat of violence from Trump comes right down here to Wisconsin. Going to discuss it with Luke Mathers on the other side. Tuesday, Tangents with Luke and more. Do not miss it. Come on back. It's the Todd Allball Show for April 16th, 2024 on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 past the hour of 12 noon on Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. We were down in beautiful downtown Milwaukee yesterday, and Luke was here at our world headquarters in Madison. Now, today, I am back at the world headquarters, and Luke is down in WAUK just outside of Milwaukee in the beautiful suburb of Waukesha, known locally as The Shaw. Mr. Luke Mathers, executive producer, how the heck are you?
I'm doing well, Todd. How are you?
I am well. I hear you're subbing for Greg Bach a little bit on Matt Nair on Air down at the beautiful WAUK studios. Fantastic.
Yeah, we filled in this morning on Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, and then also joined Jane for an hour. Fancy Brian Kelly filled in for the first hour of Matt Nair on Air, but I was able to join Jane for the second hour.
You're a man. You're a man about the state. You're just getting it done.
just a typical Tuesday around here for me.
A typical Tuesday. Well, nothing's typical when Luke's here because we always love it when you join us. We appreciate it so very much. We were talking about this a little bit here on the other side in the last segment that I found this really interesting that according to historian Heather Cox Richardson writing last week that Pulitzer Prize winning photographer David Hume Kennerly resigning from the board of the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Foundation after his fellow trustees declined to present the Gerald R. Ford Medal for Distinguished Public Service to former Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney, simply out of concern that a future President Trump would retaliate against the organization by taking away its tax-exempt status. And this guy goes on in his resignation letter to just stick it to the foundation board, basically saying you have no courage. And if President Ford were alive today, he'd probably call this tantamount to the start of fascism. And then connecting it to this whole fear that Trump continues to perpetuate right here in Wisconsin, right? A great story by Molly Beck yesterday in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We touched on it yesterday, but the fact that now Wisconsin's election chief, Megan Wolf, having to have special security detail out of fear for what Trump has ginning up with these false pretenses. It's so unfortunate, Luke, and I find it disturbing, but also fascinating that a fairly unknown group like the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Foundation, even that kind of a group, would be concerned that a possible future Trump presidency would mean the end of their tax-exempt status. Fear is just, it's a real thing today.
Yeah, it absolutely is a concern that folks that go against the former president have, that they may face retaliation somewhere down the way, because it's been his MO since being on the political scene 9 years ago.
Yeah, we've seen this with candidates in Congress. We've seen it with state candidates saying they're not going to run again, and whether they admit it openly or whether it's off the record, many of these folks are afraid for their physical safety or those of their family, because if they do anything that's out of line in terms of, you know, Trump or Trumpism, their physical safety is being threatened. That's beyond anything that I was ever a part of, Luke, on either side of the aisle in my, you know, almost 30 years involved in Wisconsin politics. I never saw that.
Well, we know that the former Congresswoman Liz Cheney has had to deal with increased security, but it's been on the uptick, Todd, around the state of Wisconsin since we saw it with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, where Mandela Barnes had the increased security cost for being the lieutenant governor, and what came with the details that he would go about his life running a marathon or whatever it was. But because of the ramped up political vitriol that there is spewed by some folks, and then it was a criticized point for him where it was like, oh no, he's spending your taxpayer dollars for security. But then don't ask the question why. And it's part of why we're here too. This isn't just a one-off. This is the standard norm now.
855-752-4842. If you'd like to join Luke and I, 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. And Jack in Merrimack listening in on WMDX here in Madison. Jack, always appreciate you calling in. What say you?
Well, first of all, this is, as you pointed out, nothing new or surprising. Virtually every one of Trump's rallies, he has promised nothing for his second term if he gets one, except retribution, retaliation, and revenge. And if you think that's bad, we've also been promised a 50-year Reich. A 50-year MAGA rule. That's better than a 1,000-year Reich, but not much. We've also, if the MAGAs follow, and I'm sure they will, the Project 2025 blueprint, they'll essentially take over the government, the electoral system, the DOJ. They'll throw everybody out of civil service that is not willing to bow in obeisance to Trump. I mean, this is an authoritarian and fascist-style takeover that's being proposed. People have to wake up to this. This is a very frightening prospect. I've been living in this country for 80 years, and I've never seen anything this bad that certainly not proposed by a major political party. Where is the House Un-American Activities Committee when you need them?
Right. Jack, always a pleasure. Thanks for your call, Jack and Merrimack. If you'd like to be like Jack, 855-752-4842. Make it easy for you. 855-75-CIVIC. CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app on your Apple or Android device. Luke, what to Jack's point, I mean, what stuck out to me even more so than, I guess, the Megan Wolf situation, which we've known about for a while, was the fact in this piece by Heather Cox Richardson that a former Republican president, Gerald R. Ford, his foundation was set to honor another longtime Republican, conservative Republican, Liz Cheney. And a former Republican foundation is afraid to honor a fellow Republican simply because it might tick off a potential future President Trump and take away their tax-exempt status. I guess I would just say for people out there across Wisconsin who may traditionally vote Republican or vote for their county clerk or sheriff, I would just ask yourself, is this in line with your values? Is this in line with Tommy Thompson type of Republican values, with Ronald Reagan type of Republican values? And as a former Republican up until 2011, I will say no.
And I think it will be an interesting question because there were about 120,000 folks that voted just 2 weeks ago today in the presidential preference primary. There was 120,000 Wisconsin voters that participated in the Republican primary side and did not pull the lever for former President Donald Trump. So it's going to be interesting. That was, some may say, a protest vote, Todd. Mm. Because it wasn't the general election. You have the ability to kind of voice some opposition. We saw it as well with the non-committed vote or the uninstructed vote for against President Biden, but not to the same extent in the Democratic primary 2 weeks ago. But it is going to be very interesting to see where those 120,000 voters show up in November, whether it's going to be if they're going to skip voting altogether, or if they're going to go to the ballot box and they're going to, after not voting for him in this presidential preference primary, are going to decide to support former President Donald Trump, or if they're going to decide to support current President Biden and his reelection bid. It will be very interesting to see.
Yeah, it definitely will. And I think on the Republican side, there's a real problem if you're Brian Shimmy, the chair of the Wisconsin Republican Party, because you have longtime leaders in the Republican Party in Wisconsin, like Paul Ryan, longtime congressman, former Speaker of the House, who have said now for some time he is a never again Trumper, has vowed and maintained he will not be in Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention in a couple of months, 3 months, if Trump is the nominee, which it looks like he's going to be. You have Andrew Hitt now, the immediate past Republican Party chair, who is part of the fraudulent electors scam, finally coming out on Anderson Cooper, CNN, or CBS's 60 Minutes, finally now saying that, yes, what he did was wrong and that Trump lost the election. And there are a lot of people that still in Republican Party circles that still respect what Paul Ryan has to say. Mike Gallagher leaving the party. Not the party, but leaving early. maybe
he's leaving the party stranded a little bit.
What I meant to say is Reid Ribble, his Republican person came right before him, congressman, predecessor. Thank you. That came out this week and basically said, yeah, I think that Kristen Wiley has a real shot here, and inferring that this extremism of the Republican side is just not a winner in a district that he won and won quite handily. And so it lines up to me that Republicans have a unity problem in Wisconsin moving into November. And that's unusual because as a former Republican, I will say that that party is pretty good about getting in line, so to speak, whether you like the person or not. But I think that Trumpism and what we've laid out here today, Heather Cox Richardson, and what Molly Beck has laid out in the Journal Sentinel article on Megan Wolf, this is just counter to what a more traditional Reagan or Tommy Thompson Republican would believe. And I'll let you talk in a minute. The final point is this. What do you think? I mean, what to me, the whole thing with Megan Wolf is Trump questioning our local elected election officials, people that go and help you vote at your local polling place in your township or your village or your city. And I don't think that many of us would say that those people are being fraudulent. So the question to Trump and all these Republicans is, so who is it? Who's committing this fraud? Because I don't know many people that would think this of their local elected official.
Yeah, but they don't have to think of it as their local elected official because they're just going to chalk it up as Madison or as Milwaukee or as the Zuckerberg five cities that receive when 200 municipalities across the state of Wisconsin received funding from the Center for Tech and Civic Life. Like, there is narratives that these individuals will buy into that are out there. And so I think it's important to talk about what actually happened in 2020, Todd. But I think it's also important to point out this inability to come together on the Republican side. You may think it's atypical, but I think it's become more of the norm. You saw it with Kevin Nicholson versus Leah Vukmir in 2018. You saw it with Rebecca Clayfish versus, again, Kevin Nicholson and other individuals that were running Tim Michaels and Rebecca Clayfish. There was not a unity come together moment in the 2022 Republican gubernatorial election. And it's going to be interesting to see. Currently, Eric Hovde is the big name in the Republican U.S. Senate candidate race, but there could still be others that jump in that Republican primary between now and this fall. And so I don't know, because it seems like the norm is the Republicans here in Wisconsin have been fighting for some time. Maybe they used to fall in line in the past, but this is much more common.
Well, as you like to point out, I have a few years on you. So I was talking about, you know, pre-2010, you know, okay. I mean, in that era, right? And I think, again, Scott Walker, the greatest thing that he ever did to Wisconsin in a negative way, his greatest impact, I believe, is how much he divided the state of Wisconsin, both in the Republican Party and as a state. Well, and we're still trying to recover that from that.
Some of the infighting started back then, because when former Governor Walker left the state without signing the budget in 2015, it was, you could see some of the infighting between the state assembly and the state Senate then, because they had unified control, Republican control of the state government at that point, but they couldn't pass a budget because Walker was trying to go run for president. Yep. And so that's what his main focus was back in the summer of 2015. He didn't really care about signing a budget back then.
No. And as Trigvie Olson likes to point out, we'll be back on the show tomorrow. It all started when he tried to run for president of Badger Boys State. And that didn't go so well either. So 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you'd like to talk to Lukester, you can text in as well. We're going to find out what's grinding Luke's gears here in a minute. Also, Luke, we're going to talk a little bit about the Bucks. They're a 3 seed. Uh-huh. I want to know what's going on. And maybe we'll touch on the Brewers a little bit as well. All that and more. It is Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers on the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Civic Media. Sit back, relax, enjoy yourself. It's the All Ball Show on a Tuesday. It has that vibe to it.
I guess so.
It's not a great vibe for your... I'm sorry, Todd. I don't know if that one works well for you.
No, it doesn't. And that's what makes it humorous to me. It is now 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock on Tuesday, April 16th. It is Tuesday Tangents with our friend Lukester Mathers. Going to find out what's grinding his gears in a moment. But first of all, let's go to Mark from the SAC calling in on the phone line, 855-752-4842. Mark, what say you?
Yeah, I think three of these adjectives might apply to some of these Republicans, and maybe all three altogether. Timorish, Twittish, Twerps. I mean, that these guys are they're just cowardly. They're not really willing to stand up to Donald J. Trump, who is now sitting, you know, falling asleep while he's on trial. it is just, you know, I hope the Sandman just delivers him a nightmare rather than a dream.
Yeah.
That he's just a criminal, and their failure and their cowardice and their failure to admit this and actually come out and tell the voters, Republican voters out there, this guy has bamboozled all of us, and we have to stand up and face that fact that that's what this man has done. It's what he's done his entire life when he's cheated people out of money. I mean, conservative Gary that calls in occasionally, who's a contractor. I mean, for guys like Gary, Donald Trump has cheated those guys out of tens of millions, perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars over his career. Mm. And for anybody to trust Donald Trump, aside from the fact that you should just distrust him, you know, that trust in the fact he's going to try to cheat you, that like he's cheated on all of his wives, is just a fact they're going to have to live with. And they have to, it's time for the Republicans to actually come out and say it.
Right. Appreciate the call, Mark. Thank you so very much. Look, we're not going to call out people by name necessarily, like other programs do on this network. But Luke, to the point, to Mark's point here, that I think that what Trump reminds me of, and Trumpism, is the old adage of the emperor's clothes. The emperor has no clothes, right? Where the emperor would parade through the street naked and no one would say anything. And it took a young kid, a young boy, to say, hey, you know what? The emperor has no clothes. And Mark is exactly right that Trump has no clothes when it comes to actual Republican cred. And people need to call that out.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think he's wearing the finest silk garb that's been woven by the seamstress, all of the finest of all the land. No, yeah, it's a very good apt analogy, Todd. But it's, for some people, they still see the guise that the former president has created.
Yeah. We shall see this trial is going to continue on. And Mark's absolutely right. He did fall asleep, by the way, in the trial yesterday, which
twice,
I got
apparently. He's apparently done it today, yes, too.
Yep, today as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, so it's not just once. He seems to be dozing off.
All right, 8:53, make it 8:54, 12:54. I don't know why.
Don't scare me like that. I thought we were going back in time.
Got to go back. No, it's time once again to find out what's grinding Luke's gears. Lukester, what's grinding the gears?
Well, you alluded to also wanting to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks, and this has been kind of a recurring segment of my take on what's been grinding my gears. But man, you got the 2 seed all year long almost. Just being able to have that guaranteed home field advantage or home court advantage all the way through potentially the Eastern Conference Finals if you wrap up a 2 seed. Like, you'd have it through the first 3 rounds, and the only time that you wouldn't have it is against the 1 seed, which you wouldn't see until the Eastern Conference Finals. And then the not-so-great play over the last several weeks. Giannis going down to injury, which just is very, very unfortunate to see. And now falling out of the 2 into the 3, having to take on a team that has had their number this season in the Indiana Pacers. I'm a little nervous, Todd. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous, and it's grinding my gears.
Prediction right now. It won't take 6-2 for the Bucks to be done. It'll take one series. Done. Pacers beat them. Gone. Over.
Okay, Stephen A. Smith. I think you're wrong. I think that they can handle their business, but they've got to get serious about it. I think the team can absolutely still do this.
Are they healthy? No. Giannis is not healthy at all.
It will be interesting to see how long the calf strain keeps Giannis off the court.
Well, yeah, we'll see. I want them to go all the way, but I don't have any confidence in all these management changes, coaching changes. It seems like that we've talked about this before. It seems like their injuries have just plagued them all season long. I don't feel like they're playing their best basketball and they're their healthiest moving into the playoffs.
No, but I think that there's still time for them to get it right. They've got this week to really get their head on straight. They're going to get the home court advantage still for the first series for sure. And we'll get a chance to see what comes of this next. If they're able to take care of business against Indiana on Sunday and foreseeably Tuesday or Wednesday, mm-hmm. whenever the next game 2 would be, I think they can take care of business at the Pfizer Forum. It will be interesting to see how they hit the road. That's where their record has suffered. That's where they've had a hard time finishing games. And I think the fact that they get 4 games at home is a nice built-in advantage, and it will be interesting to see if Giannis can join them in this series or not. But it will be interesting to see.
You know what's grinding my gears? I saw this morning on the old Twitter, Twix, that Caitlin Clark, great star of basketball at Iowa, drafted number 1 to the Indiana WNBA team, by the way, this week.
Indiana Fever.
Thank you.
Last night.
I don't have it in front of me. I think it's a 3 or 4 year contract for like, between, it starts at $74,000 some odd, and I think it tops out in year 3 or 4 at $97,000 a year. And the report was that the Fever will make that entire payroll on opening night when they sell out the stadium on night 1. Caitlin Clark could have made a lot more money with an NIL deal by going back to Iowa. And that's what's grinding my gears, just the amount of money now in college sports. And I was one that believes that players should get a certain portion of money. But I mean, now that you can make more money in a college deal than you can as a professional athlete, that grinds my gears.
I don't know if you necessarily are mad at the right people, though. I think it's something that women's soccer had a really hard time, and they've been fighting for pay equity because it's a very similar thing where it's they're like, oh, well, nobody watches the sport, so that's why you're not paid in comparison to men.
I'm mad at the WNBA too, sure.
Yeah, that's who you should be mad at. They should be adjusting to make sure that their player salaries are better reflective of the money that the franchises are bringing in.
No, I totally agree with that. I'm down with that. I mean, we've run out of time, but the Brewers, I think the Brewers are going to do well. Thank you, Luke. That's my quick take on the Brewers. Always great. Luke from WAUK and Waukesha. We'll see you next week, my friend.
Take it easy, Todd.
Back with What's Poppin' with Robin Voss and a What's Worse for this week in Hour 2. Don't miss it. News starts now on the Civic Media Ready Network.